undreamed of. An age of swords and sorcery. An age of demons, dragons, witches. Comes the adventure of a sorceress sworn to conquer the world. And mighty, magical women warriors are given the power of sorcery and the fighting skills of the masters. Innocent twins seek revenge against the sorcerer and discover one must die. Evil magic and a battle to control the entire known world. Swords and sorcery. Sorceress.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We're part of the Main Damey Network, and to find more from us, check out the website at themaindamey.com or on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at themaindamey. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. This is Anthony Delvecchio, and with me today is Mark Myers. Say hello, Mark.
Get me the talons!
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Mark is with me, and we have Dan on the line, but we are trying to work out some technical difficulties on his end. So hopefully he'll be able to join us soon. If not, we will go on without him, but hopefully he'll be able to join us.
And we'll talk remember about him fondly.
We will remember him fondly. Hopefully he'll rejoin us when the moon is in the dragon realm again 20 years from now. We'll see what happens. So this week, the biggest release of the week is How to Train Your Dragon 3. And that made us decide to watch Sorceress. Easily the weakest link we've ever made between a new release and a movie. There is a dragon in the poster. Spoiler alert, the poster is super misleading, as is the title of this movie.
Oh, it's pretty bad. Yeah, so...
Sorceress from 1982, directed by Jack Hill, although he took his name off of it, and Roger Corman, who produced it, replaced him with the name Brian Stewart. So, Mark, what do you think about Sorceress?
Man, this was a movie that I felt was made by people who played first edition Dungeons & Dragons. My meaning behind that is just the way they dress the one dwarf-looking guy is exactly how you would imagine was on the front of the red box and stuff like that in D&D. Mm-hmm. Maybe even Lord of the Rings, because he does kind of look like Gimli a little bit. This movie, besides the title being misleading, they seem to, and I guess it's just the quality of the movie, obviously, but they telegraph everything just about. They say something, and then you're like, oh, this is definitely going to happen later. And then that thing happens later. We'll get into specifics when you run down the plot. Mm-hmm. Nothing that occurred in the movie surprised me. It's right on the borderline for me for the it's so bad, it's good. It's just weird. Just the outright gratuitous nudity at times. It was just weird. I don't know. What's your feeling?
I kind of loved it. And I loved how shitty it is. I just shared with you a poster, which is a little less misleading. It's still kind of misleading, but it does have a couple of key elements to the movie we actually wound up seeing. So I just wanted to show you that. But the one on Amazon Prime is very misleading. It's got a woman with like a thong, who I guess is supposed to be the sorceress in all of this, and a guy with a dragon tail coming off of his helmet.
Yeah.
And there's an actual dragon in the poster that is on Amazon Prime. Entirely misleading. She's got a nice butt.
Yeah, that's more like it. I just got the image to come up in terms of the mythical creature that shows up.
Yeah. So it's a little closer to what we saw. This is kind of the movies that I was expecting that we would be watching when we decided to start this podcast. It's so ridiculous and so cheap. Roger Corman, I can't imagine... I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can't imagine this cost more than $1 million. I don't see any budget line here on IMDb, unfortunately. Very quickly before we run through the plot, there are very key parallels you could draw from this movie to Star Wars. And I will get into that, but it's your simple sword and sorcery story.
Yeah, maybe because of what we've been doing for a year plus at this point. It feels like a very basic D&D story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Plot synopsis is sword and sorcery story of the cosmic struggle between white magic and black magic, which is overselling it just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Classic fantasy story set in ancient or fantastical times, starring Lee and Lynette Harris, who are Playboy playmates and identical twins. That's really all the only people that anybody might know. I don't know who Roberto Nelson is, who played Ehrlich. They're all a lot of Spanish actors. As this was a Spanish production, a lot of the voices are redubbed, probably to get rid of a lot of these people's Spanish accents. They do look like they're speaking English. It just looks like they probably have accents that they're trying to get rid of.
Trying to cover up, yeah.
Yeah. I had a good time with it. I actually wound up watching it. I wound up watching it three times, which is the most I've watched. Anyway, first time paying half attention, second time paying more attention, and then third one just for my note-taking purposes. So it looks like, as we had hoped, the moon is in the House of the Dragon, and Dan has finally returned to us. Welcome back, Dan. How are you doing?
That's a great introduction. Say it again. The moon is in the House of the Dragon.
The moon is in the House of the Dragon. That's when Trigon will return to us.
That's in the beginning of the movie, right?
That is, Dan. We discussed our feelings for this movie. So why don't you talk to us about Sorceress? What do you think about this movie?
Yeah, sure. I'll keep it short and simple, even though this is not a simple movie. I don't know whether I loved this movie or I hated it. It has so many cool things about it, but it's just done so terribly. I guess, you know what I mean? Because it's more like a sexploitation movie. But it has that Dungeons and Dragons feel to it. Again, this movie, I was actually like captivated by it in parts. And not because of it being a good movie, but by how batshit insane this movie is.
Most definitely.
I was drawn to that.
It is wild, as I mentioned earlier. It is cheap, but there's charm in that cheapness.
It's almost unapologetically cheap. You know, it has that sheen to it. It's pretty interesting.
It's kind of amazing. It's like Jack Hill, the director, you know, has a pretty decent filmography, but he actually asked producer Roger Corman to take his name off the movie. They replaced his name with Brian Stewart, which was just a in-place name. But he did Coffee and Foxy Brown, Pam Grier, both of those. He did The Big Bird Cage, a women in prison movie. Did Spider Baby, but a 1960s horror movie. He did a lot. Wow.
He has quite the filmography.
Yeah, he's a big Roger Corman guy. He directed one of Jack Nicholson's early roles of The Terror. Yeah. Uncredited director for that. Apparently, this movie was so terrible that he, not only did he have his name taken off of this, he never directed another movie.
This broke him.
He's still alive, but he is pushing 90. I guess he's like 86, if my math is correct. I lie on the, I kind of almost loved this movie.
Because it's so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Pootie Tang effect.
Pootie Tang effect in so full bad. Force here.
Yep. So bad that it's good.
Yeah. It has a 4.2 on IMDb, which is right in line with what it should have. Maybe even lower, to be honest. But
I think that's right along the lines of what it should be.
I enjoyed myself a great deal. I said to Mark, I have actually watched this three times.
And is that the most you've ever watched of one of these movies?
Is the most I've ever watched one of these movies. I said, first time I had it on, but wasn't really paying that much attention to it. Second time I paid more attention to it. And then the third time was just to write my notes and just kind of like on mute, basically, as I was writing on my phone. So we're about to jump into the plot.
Yeah.
Just spoiler alert, Dan, there is no trivia today. I did not get a chance to go through that. So you guys will have to wait another week to be terrible.
So Mark gets to hold on to the championship belt for another week.
Yes.
Good for you, Mark. Undefeated 2019.
New year, new Mark. That's what my motto was.
There you go.
It only applies to
trivia.
They call this a movie. Let's get into the plot. Starts off right away. There's a chase. We find out that Trigon is some sort of sorcerer, and he's chasing down his beloved, as he called her, and he's trying to sacrifice his firstborn to Kalgara, which is, I guess, his goddess. His wife is trying to get her baby away, but unfortunately, Trigon stops her, captures her, kills all the guards that are trying to protect her, and is about to take hold of the baby. I don't remember if it's supposed to, it's definitely supposed to be that at that point, right? He's not purposefully waiting 20 years. He's supposed to.
No, he's supposed to do it then.
Yeah, he does it right then and there, pretty much.
He's gonna sacrifice the baby to Kalgara, but surprise, surprise, he didn't realize that they had twins. So he has no idea which one is the firstborn. So he can't really sacrifice them without trying to figure it out. He tries to get the information out of his wife or his beloved. I don't know if they're married.
Get me the talons.
So he asks for the talons, which might be the most horrifying weapon I've ever seen in a movie.
It's a pretty cool weapon. I think it's something out of I think that's something out of Skyrim that you would see. It's pretty sweet.
The talons is exactly what it sounds like. It is a metal hand with sharp fingers looking like a talon. And I'm not sure if this is the only use for it. But the use that Trigon has for it is to impale his woman directly on the vagina with the talons for information.
It's so that she doesn't have any more kids, right?
Yes, but she dies because of it anyway.
Oh, okay. So it's effective.
Yeah. So while she's getting mutilated below the waist, she calls out to Krona, and Krona shows up and fucks shit up.
I thought it was Jesus at first. He looks very similar to Jesus.
He looks like Jesus if Jesus grew up in Venice Beach. He looks like a 60-year-old hippie surfer dude that comes off the sand and just lights dudes up.
And this is what I mean by, like, this movie has some really cool parts to it, because when he comes along, he's very unassuming. And first of all, the guards are all dressed like Hawkmen. Which is fucking cool. this movie is so metal. It kills me. One of the guards throws a spear, and he just fucking palms that shit like it's nothing. And fires it right back at the dude.
Yep. And he just swords everybody in half and just beats the shit out of them with some pretty well done editing. Just takes him to town.
Gives him the business.
Yeah. But he is sort of no match for Trigon, because Trigon is a sorcerer, and Trigon gets in his head a little bit, stops him from killing him. But as Trigon is putting his sorcerer moves on Krona in a non-sexual way, Trigon's woman stabs him with a talon and kills him. Before he dies, he says this is only his first one, meaning he's got three lives to spare, which gets forgotten towards the end, but we'll get to that, because by my count, he's still got one left by the end of this.
Sequel.
So Trigon says, I will return when the moon is in the house of the dragon, much like how Dan shows up to the podcast. The mother, despite the fact that she was able to kill Trigon, she is still dying from her talon wounds. She's basically bleeding out from the vagina. And she asks Krona to take the babies and hide them, which is our first Star Wars parallel. Two twin babies being hidden from their father, and Krona takes them to Dargon and his wife, and luckily Dargon's wife is still very full because she just had a baby, so she can nurse two more babies. And before he leaves, Krona instills the power of his sorcery onto the babies.
You gotta love it when it all kind of works out like that, you know.
All works out. Flash forward. Without warning, really. Do we have do we even have a title card?
No.
Not really. No.
I don't remember.
Through my last viewing, I was like, is this now in the future? Like in the present? So we flash forward 20 years, and a princess by the name of Princess, it's in my notes somewhere, Princess Delicia brings upon the return of Trigon, and he tells his men to find the two who are one, which of course he's talking about his progeny.
By the way,
pretty cool nicknames.
Yeah. By the way, two that are one is a very, very great fantasy novel way of saying twins. Yeah. Oh, and they also call them girl children.
Girl children.
this there's two things about this movie that you find out pretty quickly. It's like, one, all chicks are pretty much like they have smoking hot bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's super sexist, this movie.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so in that scene when he comes back, the thing I want to point out was when he's appearing and they do that cut to the people watching, and they do like that horror face, like blocking the bright light, and then they cut back and it's not actually that bright. It's pretty good.
So yeah, we match cut to the two that are one, twins Lynette and Lee Harris, Playboy playmates, who are having a good old-fashioned naked swimming with their sister, which I guess is what sisters do.
Yep.
And the first thing that we find out is they are both extraordinarily stupid.
Yes. And this is a theme for the rest of the movie.
So they're swimming in a watering hole or some sort of lake. They get approached by a goat man by the name of Pando, who is
terrifying. One of the most
frightening things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes.
He's haunted my dreams for the past week. They make mention of they're not sure what his dick is.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. She's like, what is that thing? What is that thing that between his legs? And the other one's like,
horn.
Looks like a horn.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not right.
Yeah.
At least I don't think that's right. What's the cryptozoologist, bud?
Well, as we said, they're very dumb. But Pando, because he's scary as hell, they waste no time to just beat the shit out of him.
Rightfully so.
And he goes running off.
And you think that's the last time you see him? It is not.
No. We get to see a whole lot more Pando.
I thought he was going to be the savior at the end of the movie, to be honest.
He almost is. He comes. Sure.
Yeah.
There's a very specific scene when we get there near the end where I was like, oh, he's just going to be the one.
That would be weird. I'd be weird if he was like the savior, but he does come in and does play a key role at the end.
Because all he does is make goat noises.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of them. He is kind of an actual mythical creature, right?
It's not a centaur.
No. He's like Pan in Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, it's James McAvoy's character in the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But is it a...
Yeah, there's a name for it.
And we can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
We'll
come back to that once Dan remembers that. So while this is happening, Trigon's men are looking for the two that are one, and they've come upon the village that they have been living, and the Trigon's men are just raping and pillaging the village, burning it to the ground. They question Dargon.
Yeah, and even in a slightly graphic way in terms of the rape. Not graphic, but
it's pretty graphic.
I mean, it's not
showing dicks.
Yeah,
it's not insertion.
That's why
but...
I was stopping it. I was like, they don't go that step, but
yeah,
it's pretty close.
Yeah,
it's borderline for sure.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's actually Dargon's daughter, the one that was also a baby at the time, and he's super casual about the fact that she was currently being raped by the men. Everyone is killed, and then the twins come up and fuck some shit up.
And they glow blue.
Yeah, that's the Krona.
For no reason.
Krona power.
Is that what the official title is?
Yeah, they're catching arrows. They're stabbing dudes with swords and just fucking those dudes up.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, they show off some good skills. The two that are one, Mira and Mara. After the threat is gone, Baldur finally shows up. It helped in no way. After everybody dies, then Krona shows up looking like Gandalf.
It's pretty close.
Yeah, so he kind of reveals himself to the twins.
That's pretty good.
And kind of lets them know that he's here and they are special, and Trigon is the one that killed their mother and seek revenge or whatever. And he tells them a key fact or key point to remember for them. When all seems lost, remember Vital.
Yeah.
And that will play a part at the end.
The first of those.
Yeah. And then he just walks into the flames. So he's sort of the Obi-Wan in this story.
Yeah.
Because he sacrifices himself and he just walks into the flames. So Baldur is, I think we mentioned, Mark, I think you mentioned his appearance is that of a your usual dwarf that you would find in Dungeons & Dragons. And
braided ponytail.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's the man that Pando answers to. So he's got a goat man with him. So they head into the city market, I believe, specifically to find a man named Erlik. If we're continuing with Star Wars parallels, this is Mos Eisley Cantina, and we're looking for Han Solo.
Exactly.
And then we meet Erlik.
it never came to me that this is exactly like Star Wars.
It's very similar.
Like beat for beat almost.
Yeah, which 1982, it makes sense.
There wasn't as much raping in Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely toned down the rape in Star Wars.
We don't know what happens to Aunt and Uncle. What were the Aunt and Uncle's names?
Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Yeah, we don't really know what the stormtroopers do to them, but
it's entirely possible.
Yeah, I'm gonna. We'll say that nothing bad happens other than them dying, I guess.
Ehrlich is a bit of a con man. He's hanging out in a brothel.
Yeah.
And cheating at dice. He's very Han Solo-ish. If Han Solo had a perm,
yeah.
I guess a perm is like a 1982 mullet, right?
Yeah. Kind
of like a precursor to a mullet. Because if this movie was 1991, he'd probably have a mullet.
He is dangerously close to having he probably has the shortest loincloth in movie history.
Yeah.
I don't know what that says about him, though.
Yeah, I don't know. And he's playing dice against what I could only assume the great Khali is a Time Lord.
Is that a Flash Gordon reference?
That's actually a
Doctor Who
reference, which I've said on this podcast that we don't make Doctor Who references, but this dude looks just like the great Khali.
Who's the one from Flash Gordon? Emperor Ming. I was way off.
Yeah.
Way off.
I was thinking, I was definitely thinking he looked like a professional wrestler.
Yep.
The entire time.
Yeah, he actually wasn't. I kind of looked it up and he was not. Yeah. He was an actor. He was a Spanish actor.
There's one point, Anthony, and I'll let you continue. When Ehrlich, his name is?
Yeah.
Ehrlich gets caught cheating and there's a quick look and there's this big black actor next to him.
Like, it looks like he's playing with his dick.
Yes. Yeah, I looked, is he jerking off, I think?
He's like playing with his loin. He's like just tossing his loincloth up and down. Looks like he's jerking off.
I thought it was like a money purse, or like a little money.
Maybe.
A coin purse, maybe.
I caught it on my last watch.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. I was like, wait a minute. That guy, he's rubbing one out. This is good.
So the great Khali gets pissed off. So he starts to chase Ehrlich through the bordello or the brothel. A madcap chase, and Ehrlich jumps into all the rooms where people are having sex, so we get some more chances to see some boobs. Eventually Ehrlich catches up with Baldar and the twins, and they talk and then they fight together. There is this one scene that I don't know if you guys saw it, where the guy that I'm calling the great Khali is like waiting in the background when he's supposed to be chasing them. It's really weird. It's like there's a set of stairs that they kind of run out from under. And he's like pretending like he's caught on the stairs, like his
hair. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And he's there for like 15 seconds, just hanging out, pretending like he's stuck.
Well, there's one point when he's chasing them and there's a man and a woman in his way and he just shoves the man out of the way. And then it seems like he gets caught on the woman. Like he like just kind of shakes her a little bit, trying to get around her.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just not good at moving.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just the blocking is terrible, but he could have just easily not been in the shot where he's in the background pretending like he's stuck.
Yeah, exactly.
And the girls kick some ass, as does Baldar. I wouldn't say they're poorly choreographed, but they're like obviously choreographed is what I would say.
The sword swings are very deliberate.
Yeah. Everything's very telegraphed. It looks like a wrestling match, really.
Yeah.
All the fight scenes are very wrestling-ish choreographed. So they beat up everyone there, and they get out. They hide out in one of the houses. This is when, apparently, I don't know if Baldar knew yet, but Ehrlich didn't realize that these were two girls, although their disguises are not convincing at all that they're boys.
No.
They're wearing skirts, more or less.
Right. You can see they have a chest. It's not difficult to see.
But they disrobe because I guess they're getting cleaned up. And that's when Ehrlich realizes that they're girls, but they don't realize they're girls either because they don't know what the difference is between boys and girls are.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Who would have thought that sorceress would tell the future of how we as a society are now?
There are no genders anymore.
There are no genders. How dare you assume what the chosen ones are?
Baldar and Ehrlich, they go to the blacksmith to try and get some weapons. And immediately the girls are duped by someone working for Trigon and get taken in a net.
It's the dancer from the...
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And while that's happening, Baldar goes into great detail at the blacksmith how they make iron swords.
Yeah.
Which is apparently a new technology at this point.
I guess it was still the Bronze Age before then. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, this iron's too soft. You can't do anything with it.
Like, oh, it's a new technology. They do this. They heat it, and they do this. And they throw it right in there, and they forge it like that. I was like, okay. Someone looked in the 1982 version of Wikipedia, which I guess is just an encyclopedia, and figured out how to make iron swords. It was Princess Delicia, who was the one that had the girls taken. And she does a test to find out which of the daughters is the firstborn, which is sticking their face in the fire. And yeah, I guess
and the fire wouldn't affect the firstborn.
The firstborn. So we find out that it is Mara. Mara is the firstborn.
There's many faults in logic in this movie, but the fact is I guess the plan all along was to split them once they found out. But they didn't explain that well, because once the smoke comes off her face, you won't be able to tell again unless if you make another marking on them.
Mark them like turtles?
Yeah.
I didn't understand. I really couldn't hear much about it. And I was wondering, like, why are they sticking her face in coal? And then it just wipes away. Like, that's pretty dumb. What's the point of that? But now I get it.
Yeah.
Still a weird way.
Still pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big leap of faith. That happens, and Pandu sees it, or Pando, whatever, I don't even know what his name is. Goatman sees it. So he runs to tell Baldar and Elric, and they jump on some horses, and they come save the day, and they flee into the Forbidden Fortress, or Forbidden Forest, with the twins, and Pando behind them. And we find out at this point that the princess has a monkey man named Hanu.
Terrifying creature number two.
Another terrifying creature, just the guy in a monkey costume.
I'm assuming the way they attack people is probably one of the more hilarious parts of the movie.
Mm-hmm. The princess goes to tell Trigon that they've gone to the Forbidden Forest. They then, first of all, the princess really wants to fuck Trigon, but he says that he can't because it would ruin his oath or whatever. Is his plan to fuck his firstborn?
No.
No, I think he just wants to sacrifice him, right?
Right.
Yeah,
and we'll get to it. However, when he's going to sacrifice her, part of the sacrifice is that she carries the seed of the one with the ancient blood, which is Erlik.
Right.
Or Elric.
He doesn't know that yet.
Right.
Right.
We don't find that out until a little bit later.
Is he an ancient one that could also that she could also carry the seed of? Trigon. He's ancient.
It's never explained, right?
It's never explained.
Right.
I think he
wants so is that... it just is it just happenstance that he was like, oh, well, this is even better than just my regular sacrifice.
That's exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I think you guys are giving too much faith to this movie. I think he was going to fuck his daughter. Because the princess thinks that's what he wants to do. She says you're saving yourself for the other. You'll break your oath for the other one. Because I don't think she doesn't know that it's his daughter. I understand that.
Yeah,
he doesn't explicitly say that he is going to fuck his daughter. But
the reason I go against that is because he was going to sacrifice them as babies. So
that's a fair point.
Fair point.
As far as we know.
Right. Okay. I'll give that to you.
Was his like lieutenant an ancient one? Did I say?
Who?
Trigon's lieutenant?
No.
It just winds up being Elric.
So it's just happenstance.
It's just like it's a cherry on top of the sundae.
Yeah, get him more power.
We find out that the princess wants to fuck Trigon, but they put a plan later. They tell the monkey man to get the girl back, and if he delivers, then he could have the second sister all to himself.
Yeah.
Which is terrifying.
Monkey Man has, urges, I'd assume.
They definitely explicitly say that he has urges.
So I'll give you guys some slack. They're attractive ladies. You do much worse.
It's it's still frightening, Dan. Yeah. He is still a monkey man.
Yes.
Well, you know, you gotta broaden your horizons a little bit.
Man, you go to those dark places of Pornhub.
No.
The ones that don't show up on the popular list.
I got my free premium week because of Valentine's Day, so this is the only thing I got, all right?
You got to get it all out.
Exactly. I have to wait another year for this.
While they're in the Forbidden Forest, Balar tries to teach the girls about the birds and the bees, but they're just two very dumb girls.
Yeah.
Even though one admits to having odd sensations when Elric looks at her.
All right.
So then the monkeys break that up by throwing a bunch of fruit that sprays laughing gas. And the monkeys are able to capture Mira and Elric. Because everybody else is just too busy laughing.
My favorite part is Elric picks up the sword, puts on his armor, but is still laughing the entire time. And looks like he's going to fight them and then just starts laughing. There was really no reason for them to go to that step of him putting everything back on.
I like when, was it Balder?
Yeah.
Balder shoots one of the monkey men in the ass with an arrow.
Yeah.
And they're laughing about it. Because that's something that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, now I don't know if it's fruit or if he finds that funny.
Right. So yeah, the monkeys successfully capture Mira and Elric. Mira is taken to see Trigon. And Trigon reveals himself to Mira, not sexually, but he also reveals to Mira that he is her father, another parallel to Star Wars.
She screams, no.
Yeah. And then he cuts off her hand. And then she gets put into her chambers. But Elric is caught with his weighted die, which apparently for cheating is punishable by death by impalement.
He really should be put to death for aiding fugitives. Pretty much, right? I mean, he kills a bunch of their guards.
Yeah.
So do you think that would be the racket to get him on, not a weighted dice?
Yeah, it seemed like it was just a play. It was an excuse to kill him. Because she's like, don't hurt him. And then they're taking it away. She's taken away.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, look at these die.
We can't have
this. So then he's sent immediately to, I guess, the stocks where he's about to be put to death by impalement, which is him very slowly sliding down a piece of greased up wood, butt ass naked, where he will eventually fall onto a sharp stick right up his ass.
Wooden stick right up the butt. And this dude has the hairiest ass I've ever seen.
We do see a lot of this guy's ass.
Yes. You do. I mean, this was 82, this movie came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like trimming, manscaping wasn't a thing yet. And it's on full effect with Ehrlich. I think at one point you see there's a shot of the bush. Very quick.
Man bush?
You noticed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Man bush.
Oh, I think I missed this.
Yeah, he does like a quick hop up and you just see the faintest bit of bush. And this guy is fucking packing it, man.
So that's what this movie's got going for it. Man bush.
Man bush.
While he's sliding down the pole, the monkey man Hanu goes over to his items that he had on him, and he finds this amulet of, you know, an amulet or something that shows that he is the ancestry blood of Armagh, which is some sort of important thing, the ancient one. So he has ancient blood in him. Now, this changes Trigon's plan, as we had mentioned earlier. So now his plan is for Elric to impregnate Mira with his seed and then sacrifice her.
Right after this happens is when they set up another foreshadowing thing with the twin connection power.
Yeah, this is when Mira has visions of what Mara sees and feels. It's a very quick scene. Then we go to Trigon, goes to Mara and has her under his trance. And kind of tells him his plan and all that kind of stuff. Meanwhile, Princess Delicia puts Elric under a trance. And she kind of lies to him and says, you and me will take over the world. All you have to do is impregnate Mara so that the god can come. And then we'll foil Trigon or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. The whole point of this is just to get Elric to bang Mara.
Yeah, and I like how he, without question, just drinks whatever she gives him.
They both do. They both drink glowing green liquid. Like, it's nothing. Well, okay, I'll drink this. Yeah. So I couldn't tell if, like, they were already tranced and that was just, like, an extra trance. Because, like, they just drink it freely.
Maybe that was to get the love juices going.
Maybe. It's like the Viagra of the fantasy realm.
Exactly. Mm. Mark, you have to introduce that now into D&D.
Yep. That's canon.
I believe it's called Soma.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. We got to make sure we get our hands on some of that.
Yeah.
So Mara and Elric bang, which then doubles down on the twins feeling everything scene. Yes.
That part was super awkward for me. Because I'm watching these at work. As the listener may know, I usually watch these at work. And I recently got moved from where I had my own desk, to, like, it was pretty private, to a very open area. So I was able to hide the movie for the most part. Like, no one saw any boobage at work. But at this point, the twin is moaning with pleasure for a good amount of time. So yeah. I had to kind of mute for a little bit because my coworker next to me is like, what are you watching? So I didn't know whether I should lie and tell him I didn't know if I should tell him the truth and say sorcerer, lie,
and say porn.
Yeah. It's a kiddie movie. Don't worry.
Adventures of you watching these sorts of movies at work.
My coworkers make it the best, I gotta say.
Yeah, when they introduced the twin power, I immediately went, oh, this is gonna come back to when, you know, Ehrlich has sex with the other one at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was so easily telegraphed.
You are a better man than I, because I did not figure that out.
I love Baldar's reaction in that scene.
Are you okay? Where does it hurt?
Yeah, and he's like, oh. She's not being tortured at all.
My favorite, I don't know if I got the exact line, is when she, you know, falls down in satisfaction and then goes, oh, and he's like, now I know it's Eldric.
Yeah. She's like,
oh my God, again.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Here we go. That Ehrlich is a wildcat.
Yeah. And then Pando runs off and goes to jerk off somewhere.
Assumably.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes, tell me if you find a cold river, Pando.
Yeah.
Again, this is a very sexist movie. Just watching this girl have orgasms, pretty much.
Yeah.
Smiling and making jokes.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. So then Baldar and Mira, they figured out where she'll be or where they're keeping her. So they're going to plan to show up at night. But the princess uses Mara's powers to realize that her sister is coming. So Baldar and Mira show up at night, and as they're getting ready to fight, Baldar is immediately hit with an arrow.
Yeah. He gets owned pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Cowards!
He does like a whole kind of like dance almost with the sword, getting ready to fight anybody, and then just like, boom, shot. Sort of like the Han Solo scene. Not the Han Solo, Indiana Jones scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
That guy's with the, and then he just shoots him with the knife.
He does the elaborate moves, you know, swishing him back and forth.
Yeah.
Bang, right in the arm.
And he drops his sword.
Yeah.
And then Trigon shows up and he kind of uses his powers to force Mira and Baldar into the catacombs underground where they're assumedly dying down there.
Yeah.
Which pisses off Monkey Man Hunu, because Hunu wants to fuck the second sister.
And Trigon gets all pissy about it. I don't have time for your sexual needs or whatever. And
pretty much, that's what he says.
He cock-blocks.
Yeah. So then Hunu takes the sword and runs off. And that's when Trigon starts his ritual. Hunu forever. Yeah, it does. So Hunu somehow finds Pando. He somehow knows that Pando is somehow connected to this, though Pando is just in the forest dancing with some hotties.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the virgins.
Was it the virgins?
I thought they were
just similar.
Virgins, right?
I think it was just not having enough costumes.
Yeah, they're dressed similar, but the sacrificial virgins are still, wherever the ritual is happening, the virgins are still there. He's just hanging out with, like, some wood nymphs or something. They're just dancing around him and he's having a good old time.
Yeah, so this was the point where when he hands him the sword, like unwraps it and hands it to him, that I was like, is Pando going to be the one that comes up and like kills Trigon?
Right out of nowhere, just kind of like stabs him right in the back and it's Pando. He knew it all along.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. What happens is Pando takes the sword and he rounds up the villagers to kind of create a posse to try and storm Trigon's ritual.
By dancing and playing the little instrument that's hanging from his neck.
Yes, the pan flute.
Pan flute, okay.
Am I getting too far ahead of myself if I talk about the villagers?
No, go ahead.
That is the least threatening army I've ever seen in my life. They kind of just, at one point when they, you know, they break into the fortress, they kind of just like mull in a little bit. They're not even excited to be there. They're just kind of like, we're here. And they have shovels and pitchforks. They're going up against armed guards. And when I saw that part, I thought to myself, this is the most anticlimactic thing that could happen at this point in this movie.
Yeah.
Especially with crazy shit that happens.
Oh my God. The end is where this movie sells it, man. Because it goes off the fucking rails.
It's so good. I love it. They totally ruin it with like 50-year-old villagers coming in to fight.
But fear not, because this movie also has zombies.
It does.
Because all of a sudden...
They're pretty cool looking.
Yeah, so Baldur and Mira are still in the catacombs and trying to figure out a way out. And then all of a sudden, the bodies in the catacombs start coming to life.
Yeah.
So they have to start fighting them. They're not sure if this is real or an illusion, but it's real enough.
Yep.
So they're fighting them as the ritual is still going on upstairs. It seems like they're starting to lose against the zombies, but that's when Mira remembers what Kronos said.
Yes.
Is when all else fails or whatever, remember Vital. So she says Vital, and then her sister, Mara, yells out Vital, and then Vital shows up.
Oh, my God.
My jaw dropped.
Thank God Vital shows up.
Nothing could prepare you for this. I gasped when he shows up.
Yes.
How glorious is it?
It was so good. It made this movie so, and this is what kills me. Like, this movie is so fucking shitty, but this part is so fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, so the thing shows up, which is basically a lion with wings. Bat wings. Not even like a good griffin. Like, we're talking like a bad griffin. Mm-hmm. But as soon as he comes up, I'm like that little girl gif that's all like two fists to the mouth. Sort of like, because it is amazing.
While it's amazing, I'm sorry, go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, Ant, is this the part where you said you rewound a couple times to see if the thing was real or like sort of like CG, like early CG, or if it was like a puppet thing?
Oh, it's most definitely a puppet.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. While this thing is, you have to see it for yourself. If you're listening to this, just watch that part. If anything, it's like at the very end. But while it's awesome, he does nothing.
He does nothing for a good amount.
For a long time.
Yeah, he just kind of looks on.
Yeah, he's very majestic looking, but kind of useless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just kind of... What happens, though, at this point is that the spell is broken, and Mara is able to break out of Trigon's hold. The fights start, the sword fights in the square, I guess, and they really get you set of those same two sound effects of the sword fights.
Cling, cling.
That fight starts happening, so Trigon calls an audible, and he sacrifices the princess to his god Kalgara. Kalgara shows up.
Much less awesome than the other guy.
Yeah. She's got a half face, a two face.
Yeah.
And she shoots lasers out of her. She shoots lasers out of her mouth.
What is she? She parts snake or dragon or?
I thought she's just like reptilian. That Mel Gibson movie, like the man has two faces.
Yeah, the man with two faces. Yeah, it's like
or the man without a face.
They call upon Harvey Dent.
Amazing.
She does more than what was Vital.
Mm-hmm.
She does more in terms of action than Vital does. If you think about it.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird. It's like. Well, I guess he could have sacrificed just about anybody for Kalgara.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big loophole.
He's just like, oh, all right, this isn't working, so I'm going to do that.
Plan B.
I think it must have been like a sliding scale. Like if he sacrificed his firstborn, he got this level of power.
Right.
You know, it's like the levels of clear. You know.
So if he had sacrificed the daughter, he would have gotten like instead of a head,
full clear.
Like a full body apparition, like God.
We're talking like Tom Cruise level clear.
Jeez. That's pretty cool. If there's different levels of God depending on who you kill.
Taking notes.
The zombies break out of the catacombs at this point, and they immediately take the sacrificial virgins to de-virgin them. So
that's right. I forgot about that.
And then one of the most ham-fisted lines is when they cut back to Baldar, and he goes, "Well, they've been dead for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're gonna want?
What do you think they're gonna do?"
Yeah. Which calls into question the clothing that the zombies are wearing.
Yeah.
Which they seem a little too modern. But
again, limited amount of costumes.
Yeah. I feel like they just took them from an old Roger Corman movie. It's like, this will work.
But I give them points for creativity.
Yeah.
You never think of, you know, zombies needing to bone when they get out. You know, they're reanimated. Like, fuck. I got some poison packed up in me, man. Been a while.
Yeah. And then Vital and Calgara hiss at each other and they fight, sort of.
Briefly.
Yeah. And Vital just blows her away with some lightning.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Some lightning.
And it's lightning from his breath, lightning breath, pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And then he disappears. And I was like, that was kind of a letdown. That's cool.
Yeah. The villagers then show up with Pando and the Iron Sword. Pando tosses it to Elric. But then goes to take on Trigon and his main man, Krakenon.
It's a pretty good name. Good name.
Elric takes on Krakenon first, and Krakenon just gets the shit kicked out of him.
Chops off his arm.
Chops off his arm, like, immediately.
Well, first he cuts the shield in half.
Yeah.
Right.
Cuts the shield in half and then cuts off his arm. And then Trigon turns the iron sword into a snake. Yeah. Or does he? Or is it just an illusion? So then Trigon then has the sword, and before he's able to kill Elric, the twins come over and shoot him with two arrows, killing him.
Very anticlimactic.
Yeah, pretty anticlimactic.
Trigon definitely looks like what Mystery would imagine a sorcerer looked like.
Trigon, I always got the sense of the sorcerer from Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Oh, yes.
I think he's your run-of-the-mill sorcerer.
Yeah, I mean, he looks very much like it.
He looks like the younger version of the Amazing Wizard of Paws.
Yeah, he might have been the same guy.
Question
that
for
was
you.
His third life.
Who the hell is the sorceress?
Oh, we talked about this before you got on.
They are?
is that what it's supposed to be, the twins?
So there is no sorceress. Technically, I guess they are supposed to be the sorceresses because they have Krona's powers,
but they don't do anything like
they
that.
They do not. So we mentioned in before you got on was that both the poster for this movie, at least the one on Amazon Prime, and the title of the movie is very misleading.
So it's part of the description.
So is the description.
I'll let it slide because it's pretty fucking boss at times. But I was a little confused. I thought maybe I missed something.
Yeah. So then Trigon dies and the world is saved. And then the movie ends with Elric implying that he's about to have twincest threesome with the twins.
Yeah. As he said.
Because Baldar's like, one woman's not enough for you. And he's like, oh, you forget, Baldar. These two are two of one.
Yeah.
It's probably the best ending of any movie we've watched.
Yeah.
The freeze frame.
I still like freeze frame cheers.
Freeze frame cheers is pretty good from the killing zone. But yeah.
There's no three ways promise. So.
Right. Because there's only one woman left alive in the killing zone.
Good point. unless Malibu and his uncle are going to tag team that shit.
I guess it's entirely possible.
Yeah. But we should have talked about that in the killing zone.
Yeah. Maybe Slade will get in it. Maybe it'll be a foursome.
Not bad. I like where your mind's at.
So that's Sorceress. I had a blast with it.
Yeah.
It's so bad, but it's so much fun.
I think, like you said, when we were discussing the movie early on, it's very on brand for us. This is...
Yes.
Like, you come into... They call this a movie. I think this should be the watermark. You know what I mean? Like, because it's so poorly filmed and acted, but it's right up your alley if you're looking for a shit movie that's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's anything but boring.
Yeah.
I think it's the right length.
Yeah, it's a little over an hour, right? Like an hour 10, hour 15?
I think it's like an hour and 20.
Okay.
Hour and 23 minutes, yeah.
It goes by fairly quick, but it's, you know, the action sequences are telegraphed. The actors and actresses are abysmal.
Very much so.
And the story is very simple, and you can follow along with it pretty easily, and the costumes are bad. Everything about it's just bad, but it's still it's got that entertainment because like it's charming in its terribleness.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had a great time with it.
This might be the only movie where I'd watch it again.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a good time. There's really not much more I could say about it. There is a picture on IMDb of the scene with the black guy where he's playing with his ball bag.
His ball bag. I looked real quick. I was like, oh God, he's jerking off. He'll try to peer away. It'd be kind of like the Teen Wolf guy with his dick hanging out at the end.
Yeah.
This guy just subtly is playing with his junk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But that was the best take. We had to use it.
This movie's crazy. Where would you put this on our pantheon of movies?
Towards the top. In terms of what, though, because that's a weird question, because we review terrible movies.
Yeah.
So if I say it's good, does that mean that it was a bad review? Or if I say it's good, does that mean it's just like it was a good movie?
I guess you enjoyed it. Yeah.
Yeah, I put it towards the top then. I mean, it's one of the better movies that we've watched, but it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So same with Dan. It would be near the top section of, you know, what we've seen, more so in the fact that I wouldn't be ashamed to go back and watch it. One of those things like Skyscraper, I see no reason to do it. You know, Ernest Goes to School, like the ones at the bottom, maybe Drunk or High, Troll 2.
I think Troll 2 is more just like it's Halloween. That could be almost like a tradition to watch Troll 2.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely, it's not that really bad movie. And it's not in the mediocre movie list, but it's not. I think overall, Species is probably a better, more watchable movie than this. So it's not above that, for me at least. But there's like three echelons. There's the middle, which is boring and bad, which is where last week's film Twilight resides.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the bottom, where it's like basically unwatchable in terms of production value, story, all that.
I would put The Wizard of Paws in that rung.
Yeah, you can make an argument for that. Yeah, but...
It's so poorly shot.
And then there's the movies that fall into that category everybody has. The it's so bad, it's good is definitely the top part. At least that's how I think of my rankings. I don't know if you guys put them in the same scale.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me, I think. We've never really sat down and talked amongst ourselves grading system.
Right.
So that's something we should probably do, I think. Because every week we end it like, oh, where would you put this movie? And it's tough to compare.
Yeah. Well, once we get like a good amount of movies, maybe we'll sit down and do a top 10 list or something like that.
We're pretty far in, right? This has to be what, 25? We're in the 20s, I'd imagine.
I think this is like episode 22, I want to say.
Okay. All right. So we another like in the 30s, we can start doing that.
Maybe, yeah.
Hey, listen, you're the boss.
For episode 30.
Yeah. Don't forget, we were like a monthly podcast, and then we were a bi-weekly, and now we are a weekly.
That's true. Yeah, we've stepped it up.
Yeah. So, this is going to do it for our conversation about Sorceress. As I mentioned, there is no trivia tonight. Just didn't have time to write it. So next week, we'll probably have it. I don't know what's coming up. What's coming out next week? Probably nothing good.
Is How to Train Your Dragon now? Oh, that's this week.
That's this week. Yeah, which, sure. which is a very loose connection to this movie.
But it's in the same realm.
Sure.
Fantasy. Yeah, what comes out next week? Captain Marvel doesn't come out until the 8th.
Yep, this is a Madea family funeral. That's the big movie coming out next week.
Maybe we'll do a grab bag.
We could do a grab bag, or I do know a Madea Halloween is on Amazon Prime.
But I don't know about doing it with the same like series.
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. I mean, I don't think any of us have seen a Madea movie though. So
no,
Jen has.
I think you guys just don't want to watch a Madea movie, which is fine.
No, you know what? Honestly, Tyler Perry has surprised me in certain roles. So, I mean, this character is pretty popular. So it might not be terrible to kind of dabble into, see what the fuss is about.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll have to do research to see if it's really watchable enough to do an episode like this.
I blindly follow you anyway. It doesn't matter. You got it. Tell me where it is.
You guys got anything to plug?
Twitter, the Equino122. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, so as I do every week, Stranger Damies, every Wednesday. We're probably, by the time you hear this, we'll be finishing up the session of audio from when we had our first guest star on. And then we'll get into the second session that we just recorded on Sunday. So excited. We're getting into some lore and stuff like that inside the 6 pages of background that Jen wrote for her hometown area. That I, like I said, both exhilarating and exhausting trying to parse it to pick out a story from it. And I hope I did a good enough job with it, you know, trying to add.
Jen doesn't cut corners with stories.
No. I had to find my way to get things in there. That's where I had, like, you'll know what I mean, where I added things to kind of sort of flesh it out a little bit more than just what she gave me. But anyway, so look out for that. You know, we got some pretty good moments coming up soon. And then we'll probably have a Talking with Strangers coming up at some point during March or maybe even early April, where I would like to get Stephanie on. Just talk about our experience through two sessions, and just get a new voice to answer the questions and stuff like that. So that'll be fun. Yeah. So be on the lookout for that. And obviously follow Stranger Damies on Twitter at Stranger Damies. You've got the Instagram, Stranger Damies. And then you can message us on there as well. You can submit fan art to us and we'll put it up on the Instagram. So feel free to do that. And then my personal Twitter at Off the Mark Tweet, which will either be really happy or really sad by the end of this week if Matt Klentak does not bring me Bryce Harper, that coward. Depending on what happens there, will depend on if you want to mute me for a couple days. So good there.
All right. Yes, that's going to do it for us this week. This has been Sorceress for 1982. We are, they called this a movie. You can find us on any podcast streaming service, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, any place you can find podcasts, you can find us there. We are The Main Damie. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at The Main Damie. If you have any questions or comments, you want to tell us a movie that we should watch, you could hit us up at themaindamie@gmail.com or any of those other places that I just mentioned. I am at Aunt Delvec on Twitter. You find me there. And that's about it. So the movie was Sorceress 1982, directed by Jack Hill. So for Dan Aquino and Mark Myers, this is Anthony Delvecchio telling Jack Hill to go fuck himself.
And also Bruce Stewart.